We begin the kaleidoscope in January. On January 15, 2025, the Minister of Villages and Development of Disadvantaged Regions, Yandri Susanto, attended the kickoff of the National Village Day commemoration in Jakarta on Tuesday. Minister Susanto stated that Village Day observed every January 15 serves an important momentum to ensure that villages continue to move forward and make progress. On that occasion, Yandri Susanto emphasized that villages across Indonesia must be directed to move in the right direction and toward greater advancement. He added that village progress plays a vital role in national development, in line with the sixth Astacita of President Prabowo Subianto.
Astacita keenam ini adalah membangun dari desa.
The sixth Astacita focuses on development from villages and grassroots levels to achieve economic equity and eradicate poverty. This clearly shows that villages are the priority in the president's Astacita. Therefore, it is crucial to ensure that villages across Indonesia continue moving in the right direction and making progress.
Terus bergerak ke arah yang lebih benar dan maju.
On the same occasion, the Minister of Agriculture, Andi Amran Sulaiman, invited village heads across Indonesia to take an active role in safeguarding national food security. He emphasized the importance of increasing local production as well as educating the public on the urgency of food security as a foundation for village and national development.
Tidak ada pangan, tidak ada kehidupan.
Without food, there is no life. Without food, a nation can collapse. That is why safeguarding food security is essential. Self-sufficiency is the president's directive, and it must be achieved in the shortest time possible. Minister Amran Sulaiman also stressed the importance of maintaining national food security as a top priority in village and regional development. Andi Amran further reiterated President Prabowo Subianto's grand vision of achieving Indonesia's food self-sufficiency, which is targeted to be realized by 2027. Meanwhile, on January 16, 2025, the Ministry of Defense held its 2025 leadership meeting at the Minister of Defense headquarters in Jakarta. The meeting was attended by Minister of Defense Syahrir Shamsuddin and the Chiefs of Staff of the Army, Navy, and Air Force. The Head of Defense Information Bureau of the Secretariat General of the Minister of Defense, Brigadier General TNI Fregrawenas Inkiriwang, stated during the press conference with the media at the Minister of Defense Hall in Jakarta on Thursday that the meeting discussed strengthening the main weapon system for the Army, Navy, and Air Force.
Salah satu poin yang dibicarakan di Rapim Kemhan dan TNI.
One of the key points discussed in the leadership meeting of the Minister of Defense and the TNI was operational defense equipment, including operations in Papua for the Army, for the Navy. The focus is on the strengthening coastal defense, as Indonesia, being an archipelagic nation, is projected to enhance its warship, including frigates and submarines, along with sensor missiles and ammunition. The Air Force will also strengthen its air power through transport aircraft, fighter jets, counter-insurgent aircraft, advanced sensing system, and cyber defense equipment. In addition, according to Brigadier General TNI Fregrawenas, Minister of Defense Syahrir Shamsuddin also instructed the Indonesian Army, Navy, and Air Force to maintain integration and synergy with an optimal force posture in order to safeguard sovereignty, defend the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, and ensure the safety of the Indonesian people. On February 16, 2025, Indonesia's Minister of Creative Economy, Teuku Rifki Harsya, attended the opening of the 5th Multilateral Naval Exercise Komodo and the International Fleet Review in Bali on Sunday. As a maritime diplomacy platform that strengthens cooperation among countries in addressing global challenges, Teuku Rifki stated that the international event had a positive impact on global and local crafts in Bali.
Dan kita tahu bahwa dari 37 negara,
we know that those 27 countries, around 3,500 to 4,000 participants, will attend various events, many of which are linked to MSMEs and the creative economy. It is hoped that these activities will not only boost tourism but also have a positive impact on the local economy, especially local handicrafts in Bali. In addition, Rifki highlighted the presence of Balinese artisans, whose distinctive craftsmanship became a special attraction for visitors and participants, both Indonesians nationals and foreign nationals. Rifki noted that more than 50 creative economy players showcased a wide variety of handicrafts at this major event. On February 24, 2025, President Prabowo Subianto officially launched the Daya Anagata Nusantara Investment Management Agency, or Danantara, at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. The inauguration was marked by the signing of Law No. 1 of 2025 on the Third Amendment of Law No. 19 of 2003 concerning state-owned enterprises, as well as Government Regulation No. 10 of 2025 on the organization and the governance of the Danantara Investment Management Agency. The President also signed Presidential Decree No. 30 of 2045 on the appointment of the Supervisory Board and the Executive Board of BPI Danantara Indonesia. In his address, President Prabowo Subianto emphasized that Danantara is set to become the largest sovereign wealth fund in the world.
Namun hari ini, seluruh rakyat Indonesia,
today, all Indonesians should be proud, because with total assets exceeding $900 billion, Danantara Indonesia will become one of the largest sovereign wealth funds in the world.
Negara terbesar di dunia.
President Prabowo also stated that Danantara Indonesia is a strategic and efficient solution for optimizing state-owned enterprises. According to the President, Indonesia will not only invest SOE dividends into industries that drive long-term growth, but will also transform Indonesia SOEs into world-class leaders in their respective roles. We move on to March. On 17th of 2025, Indonesia President Prabowo Subianto symbolically inaugurated 17 stadiums that have been built and renovated across 9 provinces in Indonesia. The inauguration took place at Gelora Delta Stadium in Sidoarjo, East Java. President Prabowo said the 17 international standard stadiums have been inspected by FIFA and declared to have met FIFA's requirement.
Sehingga kita hari ini dapat meresmikan 17.
Today, we inaugurated 17 stadiums that meet international standards and have been inspected and approved by FIFA. This is a real achievement.
Jadi ini suatu prestasi.
President Prabowo also reaffirmed his commitment to continuously support the development of national football. He pledged that in the next 2 or 3 years, the government will build another 17 to 20 stadiums in various regions across Indonesia. The 17 stadiums inaugurated by the president include Bumi Sriwijaya Stadium in South Sumatra, Indomilk Arena Stadium in Tangerang Regency, Banten, Pekan Sari Stadium in West Java, Maguwo Harjo Stadium in Yogyakarta, Gelora Delta Sidoarjo Stadium in East Java, Termang Lehman Stadium in South Kalimantan, and B.J. Habibie Stadium in South Sulawesi. Moving on to 25th of March 2025, Indonesia officially joined the New Development Bank. This was announced by President Prabowo after holding a bilateral meeting with NDB President Dilma Fana Rousseff at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. President Prabowo explained that the Indonesian government's decision to accept the offer of NDB membership followed an in-depth review and discussions involving a team from the Ministry of Finance. According to the President, and membership plays a vital role in the future of Indonesia's development.
Thank you very much for inviting us to join NDB. I think this new multilateral development bank can be a strong booster to accelerate our transformation strategy.
On the other hand, New Development Bank President Dilma Rousseff welcomed Indonesia's decision. In a press briefing held after the meeting, Rousseff stated that all NDB members also warmly welcomed Indonesia's entry.
I guarantee that all our member countries today, when see this announcement, is going to be very, very happy because it's a decision that all the great countries of the NDB, we are 8 countries, have decided together. And for us, Indonesia is of extreme importance.
Rousseff also expressed special appreciation for Indonesia development planning, which she considered to be very clear and long-term. She stated that Indonesia and NDB share a similar investment priorities in several key factors, including infrastructure development, logistics, roads, railways, ports, airports, digital connectivity, and energy transition. She specifically praised Indonesia's achievements in the use of biofuels. Moving on to April. On 10th of April 2025, President of Indonesia Prabowo Subianto delivered his first state address before foreign legislative body since being inaugurated as president. The inaugural address was delivered before the chair and members of parliament in the plenary room of the Turkish Parliament building in Ankara. In his speech, the president said Indonesia was currently carrying out the major transformation agenda, particularly in strengthening the economy and improving governance, emphasized Indonesia's commitment to building a government free from corruption in order to improve the welfare of its people. To that end, the president stated that cooperation between the two countries must be directed towards upholding the rights of national to live safely, peacefully, and free from oppression. I am leading Indonesia through a major transformation. We want to strengthen our economy and build a clean, corruption-free government so our people can live well. That is why I want Indonesia to be closer to Turkey. Let us work together and build our people's prosperity as we strive for a better future in the 21st century. Our civilization must continue the struggle to ensure every nation has the right to live well, safely, and peacefully, free from oppressions.
Hidup dengan damai tanpa penindasan oleh siapapun.
In addition, according to the president, the current global situation requires major nations with strong vision, so safeguarding peace, balance, and international justice. He believes that Turkey and Indonesia hold strategic positions and have the capacity to play such a role. Moving to 23rd of April, the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, officially launched the Gerakan Indonesia Menanam, or Indonesia Planning Movement Program. This movement is a collaborative initiative aimed at raising public awareness and encouraging active participation in planning, growing, and harvesting food crops. The launch event held in Banyuasin Regency, South Sumatra Province, was also attended by a number of farmers. In his press briefing with the media, President Prabowo appreciated the movement which collaborates with various elements of society, such as religious scholars, merchants, technocrats, and experts. Prabowo also stated that through this movement, all elements unite to achieve a shared aspiration in Indonesia that is safe, strong, and stable for the prosperity of its people.
Saya tadi sangat bahagia, gembira, bangga. Ya. Ada inisiatif.
I was very happy and proud to see the initiative for the Indonesia Planting Movement, built on our own research, innovation, and collaboration between religious leaders, entrepreneurs, technocrats, engineers, and experts in biology, chemistry, agriculture, and computer science. Agriculture today needs science and technology for us to achieve self-sufficiency.
Jadi masalah pertanian ini sekarang adalah membutuhkan science dan teknologi ya untuk kita mampu swasembada.
Prabowo Subianto also expressed his pride in the progress of the national agricultural sector, he stated that Indonesia agricultural production is now not only able to meet domestic needs, but is also beginning to attract interest from other countries.
We move on to May. On 14 May, President Prabowo Subianto undertook a state visit to Brunei Darussalam. This visit became an important momentum to strengthen bilateral relations between Indonesia and Brunei, especially amid the current uncertainty in global geopolitical and economic dynamics. During the meeting at Istana Nurul Iman, President Prabowo was welcomed directly by Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah in official state ceremony. The two leaders then held a bilateral meeting that reaffirmed its historical and cultural closeness between the two countries. This visit is very important for us. Our two countries share the same roots, culture, history, language, and religion. We are not just close, we are truly one family. As the President's mandate holder, we are fully committed to strengthening these already strong ties. Through cooperation among ASEAN members, we can protect one another amid global and regional uncertainty. President Prabowo emphasized that Indonesia and Brunei are not only diplomatic partners, but also neighboring nations with deep cultural and historical ties. He conveyed Indonesia's commitment to continuously strengthen cooperation in various fields, including the economy, education, defense, and the protection of citizens. Meanwhile, Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah highlighted the importance of close collaboration between the two countries in facing global and regional uncertainties. In today's uncertain global geopolitical and economic climate, it is vital for both countries to work closely together to ensure the continued well-being for our people. The meeting also reaffirmed both countries' commitment to maintaining regional stability through ASEAN cooperation framework. In addition, Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah bestowed upon President Prabowo the highest royal decoration of Brunei, the Darja Kerabat Laila Utama Yang Amat Dihormati, as a symbol of friendship and recognition of Indonesia's role in strengthening bilateral ties. This brief visit is expected to serve as a foundation for enhancing Indonesia's Brunei strategic relations in the future, while reinforcing ASEAN solidarity in facing regional challenges. Next, on 26 to 27 May 2025, President Prabowo Subianto attended the 46th ASEAN Summit held at the Kuala Lumpur Convention Center in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. During the meeting, Indonesia reaffirmed its commitment to strengthening ASEAN unity and centrality amid growing global geopolitical pressures. President Prabowo emphasized the need for ASEAN to maintain regional stability through inclusive and open cooperation while upholding ASEAN-led mechanism in building relations with external partners. Indonesia also pushed for the strengthening of regional economic resilience, including expanding supply chain integration, advancing digital transformation, and accelerating the implementation of various regional economic platforms. In terms of security and humanitarian issues, Indonesia stressed the need for the collective response to the crisis in Myanmar, based on ASEAN consensus, as well as the enhancement of humanitarian cooperation. On the sidelines of the summit, the Indonesian delegation actively conducted bilateral diplomacy to reinforce strategic cooperation with partner countries. The 46th ASEAN Summit produced a number of key documents, including the Chairman's Statement of the 46th ASEAN Summit, along with joint statements, declaration, and memoranda of understanding in the fields of digital economy, connectivity, food security, and ASEAN's external cooperation with partners. Moving on to June. On 20th June 2025, Indonesia's President Prabowo Subianto delivered a speech before more than 20,000 participants at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum in St. Petersburg, Russia, including Russian President Vladimir Putin. In his address, Prabowo highlighted several agricultural achievements during less than a year of his administration, including an increase of up to 50% in staple food reserves, such as rice and corn.
In my 7 months of administration, we have achieved an increase in rice and corn production of around 50%. And this is the greatest increase production in the aggregate in the history of the Republic of Indonesia.
Prabowo also claimed to have 4.4 million tons of rice stored in the government warehouses, which he described as the largest reserve in Indonesia's history. During the occasion, Prabowo also invited foreign participants to invest in Indonesia. Then, on 29th of June 2025, an integrated nickel-based electric vehicle battery industry, touted as the first of its kind in the world, has begun construction with a groundbreaking ceremony in Karawang Regency, West Java. The project was carried out by a consortium between Indonesia state-owned enterprises, Antam and the Indonesia Battery Corporation, and the Chinese company Ningbo Contemporary Brand Ligen. President Prabowo Subianto officially inaugurated its construction.
Saya Prabowo Subianto, Presiden Republik Indonesia.
I am proud to inaugurate this groundbreaking of the integrated electric vehicle battery industry ecosystem by the Antam Indonesia Battery Corporation CBL Consortium.
Battery Corporation dan CBL Contemporary Brand Ligen.
According to the government, this is the world's first and Southeast Asia's largest integrated nickel-based battery industry ecosystem. The ecosystem spans from nickel mining in East Halmahera to electric vehicle battery production in Karawang. This integrated EV battery industry is projected to supply batteries for 300,000 vehicles. Prabowo stated that the development of this integrated electric vehicle battery ecosystem proves Indonesia's determination in promoting eco-friendly energy. Moving on to June. The President of Republic of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, attended the 2025 BRICS Summit held in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil on Sunday, 6th of July 2025. Prabowo's presence marked a historic moment as it signaled Indonesia's full membership in BRICS. Cabinet Secretary Teddy Indrawijaya explained that Indonesia's accession to BRICS was the result of a direct initiative by President Prabowo during his first year in office. The steps open a new chapter in Indonesia's international relations as an official participant of the BRICS Summit for the first time.
Yang mana ini artinya ada sejarah baru Indonesia secara resmi.
This marks a new chapter for Indonesia as we officially join our first BRICS Summit. It began with the President's initiative and in the same year, we were accepted with full support from all BRICS members, allowing us to become a full member that very year.
Akhirnya di tahun yang sama juga kita resmi menjadi anggota penuh BRICS.
BRICS currently has 11 member countries. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Ethiopia, Iran, and Indonesia. With this composition, BRICS represents 50% of the world population and 35% of global gross domestic product. President Prabowo viewed Indonesia's accession to BRICS as a strategic step to strengthen the nation's position on the international stage. On 21st July 2025, President Prabowo Subianto inaugurated 80,000 Red White Village Urban Cooperatives. The inauguration was centered in Klaten, Central Java. This program is a strategic government effort to strengthen village co-economic independence, expand community business opportunities, and encourage the growth of a cooperative-based economy. In his remarks, President Prabowo Subianto stated that corporations are a foundation for strengthening the people's economy built on the spirit of togetherness or mutual cooperation. He also highlighted that the importance of transforming the village economy so that communities not only survive, but become a productive force for national development.
Jadi dari lemah menjadi kekuatan.
From a weak economy to a strong one, that is the essence of cooperatives. Cooperatives are built on mutual cooperation, a value deeply rooted in the Indonesian nation.
Konsep kooperasi adalah konsep gotong royong. Gotong royong adalah milik bangsa Indonesia.
Meanwhile, the Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs and Chair of the National Task Force for Merah Putih Village Sub-District Cooperatives, Zulkifli Hasan, stated in his report that the launch of this cooperative institution is part of a larger movement to build a modern village economic ecosystem that supports grassroots communities. According to him, the Merah Putih Cooperatives will not only serve as a platform for production and distribution, but also for empowering farmers, fishers, and village-level economic actors guided by the principles of gotong royong and kinship. Moving on to August. Every August 17th, Indonesia celebrates its independence, and this year felt special because Indonesia celebrated its 80th anniversary. President Prabowo Subianto led the proclamation ceremony for the first time at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. The solemn moment occurred when President Prabowo read the proclamation text, which was proclaimed 80 years ago by the proclaimer Soekarno.
Proklamasi.
Proclamation, we the people of Indonesia hereby declare Indonesia. The independence of Indonesia. This year's Independence Day commemoration carried the theme United Sovereign Prosperous People Advance Indonesia. Indonesia. According to Prabowo, the meaning of Independence Day not only means free from colonialism, but also free from poverty, hunger, and suffering. This year's commemoration focuses on unity, independence, prosperity, and sustainable development. The peak of the 80th anniversary of Indonesian independence was held in the Presidential Palace, Jakarta, with more open and festive atmosphere. This year, the Presidential Palace invited 18,000 guests. The crowd enjoyed the festivities of the Independence Day celebration, which included a series of distinctive Indonesian arts and cultural performances. From pencak silat to Pacu Jalur performance to Tabola Ballet song, all were performed as symbols of the nation's richness and diversity. A spectacular aerial demonstration was also part of the event. This attraction showcases the power of Indonesian National Armed Forces or TNI's weaponry systems. From fighter jets trailing red and white smoke trails across the blue Jakarta sky to helicopters carrying the Indonesian flag and the logo of Indonesia's 80th anniversary. Next, on August 26, 2025, President Prabowo Subianto inaugurated the Integrated Service Building and National Neuroscience Institute at the Mahar Marjono National Brain Center Hospital in Jakarta. This hospital served not only as a medical service center but also as an education and research center for specialists in the fields of neurology and brain. In his remarks, President Prabowo showed his pride in the progress of health facilities and research in Indonesia.
Kita yakin bahwa rumah sakit ini, pusat penelitian ini bisa menjadi center.
We are confident that this hospital, this research center, can become a center of excellence. I am also very proud. I received a report that the National Institute of Health from the United States also has representatives at this hospital. They are also participating in research here. So this is something we should be proud of. It means we are also capable of performing the best levels and the standards in the world.
Berarti kita mampu juga berbuat dengan tingkat dan standar yang terbaik.
The Integrated Services Building at the Mahar Marjono National Brain Center Hospital provides increased service capacity with the addition of state-of-the-art medical facilities. In addition, this building equipped with more advanced neurostation, examinations, and wider range of facilities. For these improvements, the president also commended the hotel's capabilities in mastering high-tech neurology, ranging from brain turn to surgery to therapies for degenerative diseases.
Let's move on to September. On September 23, 2025, President Prabowo Subianto delivered his inaugural address at the 80th United Nations UN General Assembly. In his speech, Prabowo emphasized Indonesia's commitment to continuously strengthening international cooperation and contributing to maintaining global peace under the UN banner.
We must draw closer, not drift apart. Together we must strive to achieve our hopes, our dreams. The United Nations was born from the ashes of the Second World War that claimed scores of millions of lives. It was created to secure peace, security, justice, and freedom for all. We remain committed to internationalism, to multilateralism, and to every effort that strengthens this great institution.
Presiden Prabowo also expressed Indonesia's readiness to take on greater role in UN peacekeeping missions, including the readiness to deploy up to 20,000 personnel to conflict zones such as Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, and Libya. He stated that the UN must remain a pillar of peace, security, justice, and freedom for all nations. On September 24, 2025, Indonesia and Canada signed the Indonesia-Canada Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, ICA-CEPA, for the first time in history, opening a new chapter in economic cooperation between the two countries. The signing took place in Ottawa by Indonesian Trade Minister Budi Santoso and Canadian International Trade Minister Maninder Sidhu, witnessed by President Prabowo Subianto and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. Prabowo called the signing of the ICA-CEPA a strategic step for the economic relationship between the two countries.
Today, the signing, I think, of the Indonesia-Canada CEPA, Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, is very, very important for us, very strategic economically and politically. And so I'm very happy to be here for the signing of the CEPA. And I think this will be a historic moment. It will prove to be a significant milestone.
Through the agreement, Canada is committed to eliminating more than 90% of import tariffs on Indonesian products. Meanwhile, Indonesia relaxed nearly 86% of tariff lines. On October 13, 2025, Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto attended Gaza Peace Summit held at the International Congress Center in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. President Prabowo's presence at the summit also demonstrated Indonesia's commitment to continuing to provide assistance to Palestine. President Prabowo emphasized that the support will continue as a form of Indonesia's solidarity and commitment to global peace. Furthermore, President Prabowo assured that Indonesia is ready to take a greater role in maintaining stability and peace in Gaza, including the possible deployment of peacekeeping troops.
Kita kirim bantuan, kita kirim kapal, kita kirim Hercules berkali-kali.
We send aid, we send ships, we send Hercules multiple times. I think the Palestinian people and the people of the Middle East see Indonesia's commitment. We also send substantial food aid, thousands of tons of rice, and we remain committed to supporting this.
Ribuan ton beras kita kirim, dan kita terus komit untuk mendukung ini.
The Gaza Peace Summit was chaired by the U.S. President Donald Trump and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. This forum brought together a number of world leaders to witness the signing of peace agreement and an end to the war in Gaza towards stability and peace in the Middle East region. Next, on October 20, 2025, Indonesia celebrated the first anniversary of the Red and White Cabinet under the administration of President Prabowo Subianto and Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka. At the cabinet meeting held on the same day, President Prabowo used this opportunity to outline Indonesia's achievement over the year, particularly in the economic sector.
Kita, saya kira, boleh berdiri di depan rakyat kita dengan...
I think we can stand before our people with a sense of honor and confidence. We have worked hard, but we have produced impactful results.
Kehormatan dan kepercayaan diri. Kita telah bekerja keras, tapi kita telah menghasilkan hal-hal yang dirasakan oleh rakyat.
President Prabowo Subianto added that within 1 year, the Red and White Cabinet has demonstrated results in various sectors. The achievement of national programs include free nutritious meals, free health checks, and people's schools. This initiative are designed to have a direct and significant impact on people's welfare, ensuring that Indonesia's social foundation and human resources are strengthened and equitable. Moving on to November, coinciding with the Heroes Day on November 10th, President Prabowo Subianto officially announced the names of 10 figures who received the title of National Hero in 2025. The announcement was made during the National Hero Award ceremony at the State Palace, Jakarta on Monday, November 10, 2025. After attending the award ceremony, Minister of Culture Fadli Zon emphasized that the selection of the 10 national heroes is a form of state appreciation for the services and exemplary deeds of the heroes.
Saya kira kita semua juga menyadari, mengetahui bahwa nama-nama tersebut adalah nama-nama.
I think we all realize that these names meet all the requirements in accordance with the law and the aspiration of the people. Their services are clear, concrete, and truly reflect aspirations that have been selected through a lengthy process.
Benar-benar merupakan aspirasi yang sudah terseleksi ya dengan tadi proses yang cukup panjang.
The 10 figures awarded the title of National Hero in 2025 are the second Indonesian President Suharto, the fourth Indonesian President Abdurrahman Wahid Marsinah, Professor Dr. Mohtar Kusuma Atmaja, Hajah Rahman L. Yunusiah, General Retirement Sarwo Edi Wibowo, Sultan Muhammad Salahuddin, Syaikona Muhammad Khalil, Tuan Rondahim Saragi, and Zainal Abidin Shah. Now let's move it on to November 22, 2025, where Indonesian Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka attended the G20 Summit in Johannesburg, South Africa. The summit theme, Solidarity, Equality, Sustainability, focused on strengthening disaster resilience and response, sustainable lending management for low-income countries, equitable energy transition financing, and the utilization of critical minerals for inclusive growth. The summit also addressed issues on strengthening G20 governance and the sustainability of the Forum Future Agenda. On that occasion, Gibran emphasized Indonesia's commitment to actively participating in the development of the global technology ecosystem. He stated that the G20 must ensure that artificial intelligence or AI becomes an inclusive force with ethical governance and equal access. On the other hand, Gibran also touched on the challenges of crisis increasingly felt by communities around the world, particularly those related to energy, water, and food security. He also mentioned the challenges of disaster that originate not only from nature, but also from human actions.
We see this in Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, and the Sahel, and many other regions, where conflicts reduce homes to rubble, deprive people of hopes and livelihood.
The G20 summit was attended by 37 heads of states and leaders of international organizations such as the UN, the International Monetary Fund IMF, and the World Bank. The summit resulted in a 122 points agreement outlined in a declaration document. This document affirmed the leaders' commitment to the G20 as the main forum for international economic cooperation. The leaders also expressed their commitment to the continued operation of the G20 in the spirit of multilateralism based on consensus, with all members participating equally in all its activities, including the summit, in accordance with the international obligations. Let's move it on to December. On December 2nd, 2025, Indonesia and the Netherlands signed a technical arrangement document regarding the repatriation process or transfer of two Dutch citizens serving sentence in Indonesia. This transfers agreement was signed by the Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Law, Human Rights, Immigration and Corrections, Yusril Iza Mahendra, and the Dutch Minister of Foreign Affairs, David van Weel. In a press statement after signing a practical arrangement in Jakarta, Yusril Iza Mahendra stated that the transfer process was carried out following an official request from the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs, including a direct request from the King of the Netherlands to President Prabowo Subianto. And based on the official request submitted by the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Dutch Foreign Minister to us, and also the request from the King of the Netherlands to President Prabowo Subianto regarding this matter, we have responded positively and will immediately process the repatriation of these two prisoners. On the same occasion, Dutch Foreign Minister David van Weel stated that the Dutch government welcomed this decision and considered it a reflection of the strong bilateral relationship between the two countries. The representative of both countries expressed their hope that the cooperative relationship would continue to strengthen in the future. Floods and landslides hit several areas in the northern part of Sumatra due to tropical cyclone Sunyar from late November to early December 2025. President Prabowo Subianto, who is prioritizing accelerated recovery in the affected areas, showed his intention. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Pratikno explained on Wednesday, December 3rd, that President Prabowo Subianto had given directive regarding post-disaster management in Sumatra. According to him, disaster management in Sumatra is a national priority.
Bapak Presiden memberikan instruksi agar situasi ini.
The President instructed that the situation be treated as a national priority, including ensuring full availability of national funds and logistics, including the use of ready-to-use funds during this emergency response.
Salah satunya pada saat tanggap darurat ini menggunakan dana siap pakai.
Tropical cyclone Sunyar, which formed in the Strait of Malacca, significantly increased rainfall intensity in surrounding areas including Aceh, North Sumatra and West Sumatra. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG recorded that several cities and regions in these regions experienced extreme rainfall intensity between November 25th to 27th, 2025, including North Aceh, Aceh, Medan, North Sumatra, Central Tapanuli, North Sumatra, and Padang Pariaman, West Sumatra. The equatorial Rossby wave, which was observed to be active in the same region as the tropical cyclone, also contributed to the increased rainfall intensity. Furthermore, tropical cyclone Koto, which formed in the Philippine Sea, also had an indirect impact, resulting in moderate to heavy rainfall and high waves in the waters of North Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and North Maluku. As a result, more than 900 people died due to floods and landslides in Aceh, North Sumatra, and West Sumatra. More than 200 people were reported missing, and over 5,000 others were injured. The disaster also displaced more than 1 million people due to damage to hundreds of thousands of homes, public facilities, educational institutions, health facilities, and places of worships. Listener, that ends Kaleidoscope 2025 this year. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.